Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, Pack-A-Day Podcast friends? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Friday. Hope your weekend is getting started off well. We've got a fun episode lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about this rookie class and what I've kind of seen from them so far, kind of ranking them from, I don't want to say worst to best, but you know, maybe some players who have had some struggles to some players who have really impressed through OTAs and mini camps. So we'll kind of view it in that realm, but we'll rank them from number 10 to number one. And we'll kind of go through each of those rookies and what I've had the opportunity to observe through two rookie mini camp practices, through three OTA practices and two mini camps. Long way to go. We've got a full training camp, preseason, family night, and of course the full season to evaluate these guys further. And even that will just be their first year. We've got a long way to go with each of these players, but this is first impression season. This is the first opportunity for us in the media to get a look at these rookies. Don't even want to jump to conclusions after rookie mini camp, not even after OTAs. You certainly don't even really want to do it now, but we're going to anyway, because it's fun and it's entertaining. And it's kind of what you do at this point of the year is kind of go through and just say, all right, who are making the better first impressions of this rookie class? Before we get there, shout out to John Strawa for signing up to become a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Appreciate that a ton, John. Make sure to check out those membership opportunities, four different tiers that are available to you. You can get in the door for $3.99 per month, and it goes and supports the podcast in a major way. So really appreciate all of you who have already done that. If you're thinking about it, maybe on the fence, now would be a great time to do so. Meanwhile, over on the Pack-A-Day Podcast audio channel, I talk about this every once in a while. If you're not aware, if you're not familiar, the video channel and the audio channel are the same but different. The video channel is usually just me, and then obviously sometimes I've got a sub for myself or Ross Uglum will be on, but for the most part, the video version is me. The audio version will have myself, and then we also have a full team of podcasters. We've got over 20 people that are on the team, and we've got a new episode that is nothing to do with me that's not on the video version every single day. And yesterday's episode with Jason Perrone and Mark Eckel featured ESPN's Sal Palantonio and his thoughts on the Packers, Jordan Love, the state of the team, all of it. You will not want to miss that episode. So check out the Pack-A-Day Podcast audio channel if you're not already. Subscribe to it and check out that episode with Sal Palantonio, Mark Eckel, and Jason Perrone from yesterday. Had a couple pieces of news and notes from Thursday, most notably from a Packers standpoint. Jordan Morgan is signed, sealed, delivered. He's officially under contract with the Green Bay Packers. That concludes our very uninteresting, very unepic, I guess, you know, signings of the draft picks this offseason. I talk about it all the time. Until there is reason to be nervous, if we start getting like a week before training camp and one of these guys still isn't signed, we probably need to talk about it a little bit more. But more often than not with these rookie scale contracts, for the most part, a lot of the contracts are kind of done for you. There's some offset language and things like that. Some of the guarantees need to get worked out a little bit. But overall, these are pretty standard at this point. You always sort of just expect them to get done. Green Bay did a great job. Everyone was able to get done before really that, you know, kind of everyone got done with mini camp. I'm sure it was basically done with before, you know, Morgan left town, if he even has already. And now everyone can have this time off and go into training camp without having to worry about their rookie contract. So everyone from this rookie class now under contract, we can put that to bed and not have to even think about it anymore. Don't even again need to really get into the details here with the contract, because again, it's rookie scale. It's what you would expect it to be. You can check it out over on Spotrac or Over the Cap or wherever you want to get your salary cap terms. Just Google it, Twitter it, whatever. But yeah, it was exactly what was expected. And now, like I said, he's under contract along with every other Packers draft pick. And then that gets us to our one other piece of interesting news. And that's in the quarterback contract realm. Trevor Lawrence got his contract done. And this undoubtedly will affect the Jordan Love contract negotiations in some capacity. The Trevor Lawrence contract came in 5 years, $275 million, $55 million per year, $200 million guaranteed with $142 million fully guaranteed. All right, $55 million per year for 5 years, $200 million guaranteed, $142 million fully guaranteed. It's a big time contract. Now, if you want to go back to one of the more recent contracts as well, Jared Goff, just to sort of remind you, 4 years, $212 million, $53 million per year with $170 million guaranteed. So you have to think for Jordan Love that it's within the realm of those two deals. If it's around that four-year deal, $212 is $53 million per year. I would think that most people would kind of expect him to kind of get more than Jared Goff. Even Trevor Lawrence, it's a very interesting discussion. I think people might say, hey, Love showed more in his first year as a starter than Lawrence has in any year as a starter so far. You can certainly at least make that argument. I know I would be if I were Jordan Love's agent. So we've been talking in that $53 million range. Maybe now we're getting into that $55, $56 million range. I don't think it's more than that. And Jordan and, you know, the Packers could still find a lower middle ground. It's within the realm of possibility as well. If you're Jordan Love and his agent, I think this deal is beneficial to Jordan Love and his agent. I think this is something that you are very pleased with. And I think this is probably what you're looking for. Now, I've talked about all along, I do think 4 years might make a little bit more sense for both sides. I think for Jordan Love and his agent, they're gonna want probably a more recent free agency period so he can get another huge deal in 4 years while he's still very much in his prime. For the Packers, they might want to protect themselves a little bit just in case that this Jordan Love sensational second half of the season was a short sample size, and maybe they want to see a little bit more before giving a five-year, $200 million guaranteed, $275 million overall type contract like Trevor Lawrence just got. They might want to give themselves a few more outs than maybe what Jacksonville did. I have seen already, though, and this is no surprise. I've already seen, well, Jordan Love needs to get paid less than that, or Jordan Love should want to take less. The Packers would be stupid to pay him that much already. Guys, you have to understand the going rates for quarterbacks. Jared Goff just got 53, and I like Jared Goff. I really do. I think he's really resurrected his career, but Jared Goff got $53 million per year. Trevor Lawrence, still very unproven, got $55 million per year with $200 million guaranteed. You know, just to kind of give you, and because I think some of the idea here is once you give Jordan Love this contract, you can't compete anymore. It's over. It's done with. He's going to make too much of the salary cap. Now, I'm not saying these next examples of teams are great examples of teams that are certainly going to be competing for a Super Bowl or anything like that. But you have to remember, if you do not have a quarterback, you are in no man's land. You are in purgatory, and you are probably going to overpay somebody to be that guy for you, and it's not going to go great. For example, and this is another guy I actually really like and thought was really impressive resurrecting his career a season ago, Baker Mayfield. In 2025, a year from now, when we start probably looking at Jordan Love actually making this amount of money in the, like, let's just say next year he's making $55 million per year, all right, or $55 million in 2025. Baker Mayfield will be making $35.75 million. Mike Evans, the wide receiver, will be at $22.3 million. Combined, they will be at $58 million. If you were to ask any team in the league, all 32 teams, would you rather have Jordan Love at $55 million, or would you rather have Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans at $58 million? It's laughably obvious you would take Jordan Love. Daniel Jones in 2025 is set to make $47.85 million on his own. We don't even have to throw a wide receiver into that conversation. Would you rather have Daniel Jones at $47.85 million or Jordan Love at $55 million? You can have the extra $8 million to spend any way you want to. I'm taking Jordan Love. Derek Carr in 2025 is set to make $51.458 million next year, when Jordan Love is probably making, again, somewhere near $55 million. Would you rather have Derek Carr at $51 million or Jordan Love in his prime at $55 million? 37-year-old Kirk Cousins next year in 2025 will be set to make $40 million next year. Again, add in whatever $15 million free agent signing that you want. Give me Jordan Love over Kirk Cousins at age 37, already having an Achilles injury a season ago. and whatever, again, you, whatever you want to do with that extra 15 mil. So what ultimately ends up happening is when you don't have the quarterback, you end up going way out of your means to try to find a quarterback or overpay a quarterback to get them to come and play, because you know that if you don't, your whole staff's probably getting fired. You're so freaking desperate at that point. There are a multitude of teams that would love to be in the position to give Jordan Love this contract. Green Bay is the one that gets to benefit from that. It is not a, you know, death blow to the Packers in their future. It is signing their franchise QB to a franchise QB deal. It'll be done soon. You can buckle in and brace for it if you're worried about it. I would not. I would be excited that they are in a position that they get to pay a quarterback like Jordan Love that amount of money so that he can be the quarterback of this franchise for the foreseeable future. All right, and that brings us to our main topic for today, our 11 Packers rookies and ranking them, in this case, from 10 to 1, because we do have one incomplete, and that is Ketan Oladapo. Ketan Oladapo, coming off the foot injury, which he suffered at the combine, has not been able to participate in rookie minicamps, OTAs, or minicamps, so he gets a big fat incomplete so far, and we will just kind of put him to the side until we get that first impression, hopefully as soon as training camp starts or very soon after that. Hey everybody, we are officially in the thick of the NBA and NHL finals, and over the course of the next couple weeks, we will crown new champions in both leagues. We're also in the midst of baseball season. The WNBA is seriously heating up with crazy new stories every single day. And don't forget about esports either. Whatever your interest is, make it more interesting with Prize Picks. There's always action on Prize Picks, and right now, every Wednesday and Saturday in June, if your esports lineup doesn't win, you'll get your entry fee back. Choose from Counter-Strike 2, Call of Duty, League of Legends, and so many more. And of course, there are still plenty of incredible selections available during the NHL and NBA finals. And right now, Prize Picks is lowering select player stat projections on Tuesdays, which increases your chances of getting a win. There are a ton of unique promotions available that you will not want to miss out on. This week, I'm expecting a massive performance from two of the biggest stars in the world, Connor McDavid and Luka Doncic. Both need huge performances to give their respective teams a chance to win a championship, so I'm going heavy with those two. I'm also going with Sabrina Ionescu in the WNBA. There's never been a better time to get in the action with Prize Picks, and we're making it easy for you here at Packaday. Just download the Prize Picks app today and use code Packaday for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code Packaday for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. As many of you know, a few years back, the Milwaukee Bucks were in the NBA Finals, and I desperately wanted to go to Game 6 in Milwaukee to see them win the championship. As you can imagine, prices were insane, and I kept going back and forth with different apps to try and find the cheapest tickets possible. I finally found them, clicked purchase, and of course, they were gone. Goodbye, Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now, thankfully, the day of the game, I was able to find a ticket, but the entire thing was so expensive and way too stressful. I really wish I could have simply used Game Time to alleviate all of the stress and all of the hassle. I've started using Game Time app for purchasing all of my tickets, and I wish I would have done so sooner. From low prices to easy to find tickets to last minute ticket deals, the Game Time app is perfect for all of my ticket needs. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy, you can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two clicks only in fact, and tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never need to dig through your email. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PACKADAY. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Before we get to our list, you guys know I'm always going to explain what I'm thinking. It's just the way I'm going to do things, because I know people, no matter what I say, no matter what buffer I give it, people are going to jump to conclusions. Yes, this is my list. I get to be the benefit of the one that makes it based on my observations at OTAs, mini camps, and rookie mini camps. But we have to remember that not all of these are necessarily created equally. And I'll say it one more time, nobody's career is based on unpadded practices at OTAs and mini camps. It's just not. So there are going to be rookies that play very well in OTAs and mini camp that get the pads on and things start ramping up and don't respond well to that. And vice versa. There are going to be guys that are just, their heads are swimming in OTAs and mini camps, and they're going to get, you know, just gradually better through the course of their season and their career. And that will happen too. All these, you know, all these guys have different abilities to take on the information, to immediately go and display it, different levels of confidence. Sometimes the game just needs to slow down for some of these guys. And sometimes that can be right away. And sometimes that can be 2, 3, 4 years from now. And we just have to kind of take it one step at a time. And the reason I'm giving that caveat is because number 10, if we're going from 10 to 1, meaning 10 being the player that maybe struggled the most to 1 being the player that impressed the most, number 10 on my list is the Packers' first round pick, Jordan Morgan. And I know that's immediately going to generate some buzz. And it maybe is feels like, I don't know, I hate even the term like clickbaity or like shock value or anything like that. It's not. It's legitimately not. The reason he is number 10 on my list is because he had more negative plays than any other rookie in minicamp, OTA, and rookie minicamp. Period. End of story. To me, he struggled the most from what I saw of any of these 10 draft picks that we've seen so far. Now, with that being said, and the reason I want to talk about this very candidly is because Jordan Morgan, in a way, if you kind of want to view it this way, was set up to be number 10 on this list, and in a way is almost like set up to fail. What I mean by that, and that's not excusing Jordan Morgan. That's not saying that, you know, a different offensive line, maybe Tyler Guyton, if they drafted him, would have come in and tore it up. I don't know how he's doing in Dallas. No idea. Don't really care. But this is partially on Jordan Morgan. But here's the thing. This is a left tackle in college that's making this transition to the NFL, and in a handful of short weeks has already played 4 different spots on the offensive line. Left guard, and right tackle, in which he has never played before, at least in any sort of college football. Maybe he played some of those in high school, don't know, but he certainly did not play them in college. The only thing he did in college was left tackle, and it's not like he's learning left tackle and left guard, where at least you stay on the left side, but you're going to learn 2 different types of positions, or left tackle and right tackle, where you're going to stay tackle, but you're going to stay left and right. No, you are learning 2 different sides of the formation and 2 different positions, meaning guard and tackle. That is a lot for any player to take on. Furthermore, here, I want to give you a behind the curtains view of what it's like to cover these teams or cover a team at OTAs or mini camps or rookie mini camps, any of it. There are 90 guys out there, minus a handful of guys that might be missing or not practicing on a day. So let's just say 80, all right, 80 guys that are out there. In team drills, assuming that there's not the number 2 guys going down over there, and there's just, it, like in mini camp, it was just this one area that we could view on, there's 22 guys on the field at a time. So they break the huddle, and you're immediately going to, is there anything unique here? Is Javon Bullard in the slot? Is, you know, who's that say? Is Evan Williams out there? Is there something new? Is there something that maybe somebody subbed in and we haven't seen something before? Oh, Corey Ballantyne's in the slot. That's new. That's unique. Oh, there's Javon Bullard. Or Keyshawn Banks was playing some defensive tackle that I know. You might notice something like that. You're trying to pick up on that first of all. You're scanning 22 players to see what you can tell, who's lined up where. Is there anything crazy going on? Is there anything noteworthy going on? And you're kind of notating that if there is. And then the play starts. And again, 22 players all at once, massive humanity. And you're trying to pick out anything discernible that would be of interest or of note. And sometimes you can see it very obviously. Jordan Love or Michael Pratt throws an amazing throw. A receiver comes up with an amazing catch. A diving interception happens. And sometimes it's obvious. But a lot of times that's what? Watching the ball. And you're just kind of seeing what the play takes place. There are other times where maybe it's a run by Marshawn Lloyd and you can see the play develop a little bit. Like there were a couple plays where Caleb Jones and Kadeem Telfort opened up some pretty big rushing lanes. I think those might have been for Emmanuel Wilson, if I remember correctly. But those two combined, those two big mammoth offensive linemen, they opened up some pretty big holes. That was noteworthy to me, but you could kind of see it happen in real time. Of all the positions on the field, from our vantage point sideline, trying to view this like across, the offensive line is near impossible to tell like if there's mostly, if there's any really great plays that have happened, Elgton Jenkins, for example, I cannot look you in the eye and tell you that I can recall a single play from Elgton Jenkins in any of the mini camps or OTAs. I'm sure I saw him. Can't recall a single thing. I probably would have if he made some really poor plays. And in this case, with offensive linemen, no news is kind of good news. But what happens with a player like Jordan Morgan is it's really, really difficult to see any of the positives. He could have had 5 to 8 of the best blocks in all of minicamp. I'm not sure I would have known about it. Not sure I could have seen it. Not sure even if I, unless I was specifically looking at Jordan Morgan on the play, that I could have been able to discern that in real time, because there is so much going on. So because of that, what am I going to notice more when it comes to a player like Jordan Morgan? I'm going to notice the negatives. I'm going to notice, oh, like Aaron Mosby just beat him clean off the line of scrimmage because it was clear and obvious to see. And that's going to be a negative for Jordan Morgan. Multiple false start penalties on Jordan Morgan. That is going to be very easy to pick up, where he gets pulled out for a play and has to do some push-ups before he can get back in. Those are going to be noticeable plays. So in a way, a player, a rookie player whose head is swimming, that's coming in, playing 4 different positions, and has made some mistakes, got pressured on a variety of different occasions with no pads on, this is a player that, like I said, in a way is set up to almost fail, set up to almost be number 10 on this list. I don't know yet if we can draw any conclusions from this for Jordan Morgan. I'm excited to see him in camp when the pads come on. He could be somebody that, with the pads on, looks totally different. Or he could continue to struggle and have some of the issues. Matt LaFleur, when asked about Jordan Morgan, said, quote, "Certainly, he has a long way to go in terms of just mentally." He went on to say, "Physically, he has all the tools that you look for, and we're going to keep pushing him." That's not exactly like, yeah, he's got some fundamental things he needs to clean up, but we're really impressed with Jordan so far. He's really kind of exactly where you would expect him to be. It's not that. It's certainly he has a long ways to go in terms of just mentally. That's not exactly what you want to hear about your first round pick. And I'm sure if you saw or caught on to anything that Matt discussed through the entire course of, I asked him about Bretton Cox. I asked him about Michael Pratt. He got asked about Jordan Morgan. He got asked about like 20 of these players that maybe stood out to us in some way or the other. And every single time it was with all the young guys, it was like, yep, long way to go, long way to go. With Michael Pratt, he said he's drinking out of a fire hose right now. Like all these guys have a long ways to go. But with Jordan Morgan, like I said, of all the rookies, he was easily the most noticeable for a player that was having some issues with pass pro and made some mistakes with the false starts. How that affects him moving forward is up to Jordan Morgan. His future is not defined here. It's just not. It's just absolutely not. So don't put too much into this. It's just of all the players, to me, he struggled the most from what I was able to discern from trying to watch 22 players at the same time through these 5-7 practices, including rookie mini camps that we were able to see in person. All right, that brings us to number 9, Kalen King. This is not due to poor play by Kalen King. This is not due to mistakes by Kalen King. This is more just nondescript. Didn't get to see him a ton. There was one specific play in coverage. I got to watch him against Christian Watson, and he had great coverage on Christian Watson. They played him outside some. They played him in the slot some, and it did not seem to faze him at all. You could tell that in special teams, he was still getting acclimated a little bit. That's going to be a key for him. If he wants to make that final roster spot, special teams is going to be a huge way for him to do that and try to get onto the 53-man roster. You can tell his head's swimming a little bit there, but I've liked what I've seen out of King. It's just I haven't seen a ton of it. That's going to be a player more where, and I think we're going to get a better gauge of it in preseason when we get some film out there. But for right now, what I've seen, solid, just haven't seen a ton of Kalen King. And again, with some of these second and third tier players, or like kind of third stringers at this point, guys that are working their way up, a lot of times, again, those guys were working on the far side of the field in OTAs. And of course, all of us are watching the ones because that's going to be the stuff that you get more takeaways from. So we didn't even get to see a ton of them when they're down there. And then when they're not doing that, when they're just doing the one practice, of course, the ones get the majority of the snaps and then everyone else kind of takes what's left over. So that's where we're at. I like Kalen King. But this was again, more of just, you could almost put it as an incomplete, but just a little bit more like nondescript for King. 8, Travis Glover, very similar story. I really like the way he looks. Passes the eye test, first guy off the bus sort of mentality. You can tell the strength. There is, there's good big and there's bad big. And Travis Glover is good big. Like, he is physical. He is attacking. He's not fleet of foot per se. He's not exactly quick. He's not exactly fast. But for his size, he's a good mover. And you can tell that that's something that hopefully long-term Green Bay is going to be able to utilize. So a lot of the stuff that I saw out of Glover was more an individual work. You can tell he's got to work on getting lower, work on his leverage, work on his hand placement. Those are all things that he's going to have to continue to work with. But I've liked what I've seen. I really like this as a flyer, you know, end of day 3 sort of selection. And from what I have been able to discern, he looks like somebody who probably is going to need a little bit more of a redshirt type of season, but does have some real developmental potential. 7, Jacob Monk. I almost had him a little bit higher. It's another player where, again, in the whole mass of humanity, it's tough to tell exactly what he's been able to accomplish so far. But I really like the, you know, base that he plays with. I think he plays with great leverage. He gets really low to the ground. It feels like he's a little bit more fundamentally sound than even Jordan Morgan or Travis Glover, the other two rookie offensive linemen, are at this point. I really like the transition to center for him. I think that is going to be his long-term spot in the NFL. And overall, tough to see exactly how he held up. There were a few missed snaps from centers in camp. I did not see any of them come from Jacob Monk. So he seems to be making that transition to center well. He does have some guard versatility. It's another player I'm very looking forward to seeing more in camp. But for now, he comes in at 7. 6 is Michael Pratt. And you could argue that he should even, you know, maybe even be higher on this list. If you wanted, or I guess I'll say I could have easily put him probably as high as 4 on this list. I also maybe could have moved him down a spot as well, but I settled on 6. Couple things. I talked about his leadership. You can see it. He oozes it. He really takes everything seriously. He gets the guys rallied. He's willing to take responsibility when something goes wrong, wants to get it fixed, wants to get on the same page. Matt LaFleur did talk about how his, you know, again, he's drinking from a fire hose with all the information he's intaking. Basically did not mince words here either. Said he's going to have to take these next 5 weeks to decompress and get into the playbook and really learn everything so he can come back to training camp ready to go. But I like how he slings the ball with confidence. He was pretty darn good in some of the 2-minute drills, especially for this, again, being kind of his first time going through some of these within this offense. He had that one play where, again, he had the run solution to the right side where he recognized it. It was the right decision. At least it seemed so. Got the ball out, maybe a little bit behind, but a complete pass. Like, just picking up on some of that stuff is really impressive for a quarterback who's, again, I'm sure his head is swimming at this point. Maybe not the most dynamic passing arm in the world, but it's certainly good enough. Like I said, slinging it around the field a little bit, a long ways to go, but I like the initial impression of Michael Pratt. I think there's a true developmental quarterback here. What the ceiling is for that, I don't know. You know, Matt Flynn, you know, maybe on the like good side, Matt Hasselbeck, maybe on the great side. And, you know, there's probably a lower side to that too, but I like what I've seen so far from Pratt, especially on the leadership style of things. All right, 5 on my list is Evan Williams. Really just impressed with his demeanor so far. Nothing has seemed too big for him. He has played some in the slot. He's played some at post safety and box safety. He's looked extremely good as a blitzer. Had a really nice blitz in minicamp the other day where he timed it up well, kind of got through and caused some pressure. Had great positioning on a play over the middle to Christian Watson where, had it been a real game, Evan Williams would have been able to lay him out, kind of have him dead to rights a little bit, but wisely did not do anything and just kind of let Watson complete that pass. Very communicative on the back end. He's not afraid to get everyone on the same page and do what he needs to do to communicate as that safety and that kind of, I don't want to say leader because he's a rookie, but again, he's not hesitant to communicate on the back end. And you can easily see why the Packers liked him enough to move up in the 4th round to go get him. Think he could have a real true role on this team in some capacity. It's going to be tough to earn with all the other defensive backs that he has maybe ahead of him right now. But he's been good so far, and I've liked what I've seen from Evan Williams. 4, Tyron Hopper. Speed first of all, but he plays with great intensity. He is not afraid seemingly of anything. I know, again, pads not on yet. He is impressive as a blitzer. He's shown sideline to sideline ability. In rookie minicamp, he made a great play getting to the sideline and making a play right around the line of scrimmage of Marshawn Lloyd on a, I don't know if it was a stretch play or a toss play. Then there's a play in minicamps this week, or maybe it was OTAs, one of the two, where he does the same thing to Marshawn Lloyd. And again, just showing his awareness and then showing that speed to get out there, because I'm telling you guys, Marshawn Lloyd is quick as heck. And for a linebacker to be able to get out there and make that play at the line of scrimmage, that is impressive in and of itself. Love his overall style, love his aggressiveness, and he has shown some true ability. And I think he has a little bit more physicality to him than maybe he even showed in college. It's another player super excited to see when the pads get on. Number three, Javon Bullard. Already got some time with the number ones at safety. I do expect him to supplant Anthony Johnson Jr. at that safety spot and become a starter. Had multiple pass breakups through the course of the last few weeks. Did have one dropped interception that he would probably like to have back. He's already playing box, post, slot. They are not afraid or hesitant to move him to different spots. And that hasn't always been the case in Matt LaFleur's era. Sometimes with these rookies, they put the training wheels down a little bit more. Clearly not the case for Jordan Morgan. Clearly not the case for Javon Bullard, either. Did get toasted a little bit on one play by Jaden Reed. So Javon Bullard in the slot, Jaden Reed's across from him. They run a little pick rub play. And I think Bullard was maybe a half second slow in diagnosing it. Reed gets the free release. Bullard kind of gets picked. He tries to get back in the play. Reed separated with ease. Would have been a big play. Unfortunately, Jordan missed him on that particular throw. I did also think that Javon Bullard matched up extremely well with tight ends so far. So he's going to be, I think, a really good player. I think he's going to have multiple uses within this Jeff Hafley defense. And I love the fact that they're already cross-training him a little bit at that slot position, as well as both safety spots. Number two and number one were so freaking close to each other. And I went back and forth. I ultimately settled on Marshawn Lloyd at number two. Beautiful one-handed catch the other day. Absolutely dynamic with the ball in his hands. Do think he could potentially be that kick returner as well next to Keyshawn Nixon. If they do go with two returners on the back end, they've experimented a little bit with that so far. Some easy juice from Marshawn Lloyd. He's able to go from 0 to 60 in a hurry. He's been the most fun rookie to watch so far, has made a ton of people miss in the open field, and he has the ability to be a true playmaker within this offense. Really, really like what I've seen out of Marshawn Lloyd. Now, part of the things that have gotten him into trouble in college and what he needs to continue to work on, pass pro and, you know, not fumbling. As far as I could tell, do not believe he had any fumbles throughout the course of any of the practices. Pass pro, we're going to have to tell a little bit more when camp comes and when we start seeing him in preseason, but it's been a great, great start for Marshawn Lloyd. And that brings me to number one. That was Edgerrin Cooper. The real thing that put it over the top was a story from Matt LaFleur yesterday. And I'm paraphrasing here, but Matt basically said that they ran a play to take advantage of Edgerrin Cooper, maybe his over-aggressiveness, knew that this would be a play that a rookie linebacker would probably bite on. And they ran the play. Cooper did not bite on it. He stayed home, trusted his keys, trusted his instincts. And so much so that Matt LaFleur went to the opposing coaching staff and said, hey, did you prep him for that look? Because this was a scripted period, not a non-scripted period. So they all know what the plays are going to be ahead of time. They meaning the coaches, not the players. So, you know, sometimes you might have a coach that preps him and says, hey, they're, you know, we've got this coming. Make sure you do this in this situation. That's, I think Matt was so impressed with what happened on the field that he asked the coaches if they prepped him and they said, no, we didn't prep him for it. He just did it. That's a big time sign, especially for a player who is such an athletic freak and can do so many of the things that he can do. Sideline to sideline, had a unbelievable shoot through the line, 3 yard tackle for loss on Josh Jacobs in day one or day two of OTAs. Intensity, speed, showing off some instincts already, has been phenomenal as a blitzer, and Hafley has used him a lot in that role. And because of the story, because of the athleticism, the speed, I had to put him at number one on the list. Really, really impressive stuff from Cooper so far. Overall, my top 10 list, number 10, Jordan Morgan, number 9, Kalen King, 8, Travis Glover, 7, Jacob Monk, 6, Michael Pratt, 5, Evan Williams, 4, Tyron Hopper, 3, Javon Bullard, 2, Marshawn Lloyd, and 1, Edgerrin Cooper. Just remember, it is early. This would be akin to grading these players or like grading a movie just based on the trailer. Never ever watching the movie itself, but just saying, I saw the trailer and now I know exactly how everything's going to go. You might have some hints. You might, you know, have an idea for some plot points along the way, but to judge the entire movie when you never watched the movie and just saw the trailer would be foolhardy. So that's why this is just first impressions. This is just what I saw, what I could discern from seven practices for these rookies that were open to the media, and I try to gather as much information as I can. Take them or leave them, do whatever you want to do with it, but don't judge these players yet based on this small sample size, based on one person's observations. Again, that's not probably the smartest way to do this. But first impressions are fun. I'm excited still about this rookie class in a pretty significant way. I do think that guys like Edgerrin Cooper, Marshawn Lloyd, and Javon Bullard are going to help sooner rather than later. I think Tyron Hopper and Evan Williams have the ability to help if needed. Jordan Morgan is going to get every opportunity still to earn a start along the offensive line. I think they developed some good offensive line depth with the picks of Monk and Glover. Michael Pratt, really impressive so far. There's been I like it. I think this class overall is where I would want them to be. I think Jordan Morgan, you'd like to be a little bit more ahead of schedule at this point, but let's give him some grace. Let's give him some time. Let's see what he looks like when training camp rolls around. That is going to do it for me today. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members. Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, and Dan Gesford. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.